Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8, beginning with verse 12. And I will be reading from the New American Standard Bible. John, chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I'm not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. So they were saying to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Then he said again to them, I go away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews were saying, Surely he will not kill himself, will he, since he says, Where I am going, you cannot come? And he was saying to them, You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, and unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they were saying to him, Who are you? Jesus said to them, What I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. They did not realize that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he spoke these things, many came to believe on him. Read with me again, verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Where would we be without light? Where would life be? Yes, it would be dark. But without light, there is no sun, and it would also be cold. So cold that life on earth would be impossible. Which brings us to the point of what Jesus is saying. Without light, there is no life. But with light comes life. The very first words that God spoke, which are recorded for us in Genesis Chapter 1 and verse 3, then God said, Let there be light, and there was light. Light is a wonderful blessing, isn't it? It illuminates. It reveals. It warms. It causes growth. Without light, there's not only darkness, there is death. Jesus says here, I am the light. And not just any kind of light. I am the light of the world. This is one of seven I am statements. And I've mentioned this briefly before. We've already seen Jesus say in chapter 6 of John, I am the bread of life. Here, I am the light. In chapter 10, verses 7, and then again in 11, he says, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. In chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. In chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then finally, the last I am statement in John is in chapter 15, I am the true vine. Jesus revealing to us, like Jehovah did to Moses, his identity. At the burning bush, you recall, Moses said, well, who shall I say sent me? And God said, tell them I am sent you. And that's where the Hebrew scriptures gets the word for God, which is his name, Jehovah. Before that time, he is simply referred to as Elohim. I am the light of the world. Earlier in John, the Gospel of John, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And that's what we have in this reading today, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus is going to be even harder on the Pharisees at the last third of this chapter, which we're saving for next week's lesson, beginning with verse 31 to the end of John chapter 8. In talking about their parentage, where they come from. But he hints at it here and begins the discussion, really, in what we've read today. I will go and you will not find me. You'll search for me, but you're still going to die in your sins because you don't know where I came from or where I am going. Yet Jesus is very clear, clear enough that at the end of today's reading, in verse 30, the Pharisees don't get it, but many do. And it says, and he spoke these things, as he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. When Jesus says, you're from this world, I am not. You're from below, I am from above. My Father is my second witness. And what a witness that is. The two witnesses, Jesus himself and God, declaring what? That he is God. I am the light of the world. Whenever we raised pigs back in Oklahoma, during the winter months when the sows farrowed, we would lose baby pigs because they would try to get warm close to their mother's bodies during the cold nights, and the mother would stand up and move and then lay back down. Well, you know how that worked out. And so we took to putting heat lamps, red heat lamps, outside the farrowing crate. The mother was almost like in a chute. She could get up and move a little bit, but she couldn't turn around. And then on either side, we would put hay for the baby pigs. And on one side, at least, we would have a red heat lamp. And fortunately, the pigs learned fairly quickly that that was a safe place. The light, providing warmth, and in fact, providing light. A place away from danger. Jesus is the light of the world. His light delivers us from darkness. Now, that might be a little bit nebulous for the moment, but Jesus says, if you'll come to him, you'll not walk in darkness. Well, what does it mean to walk in darkness? Do you ever get up during the night and not have a nightlight available? Or forget to turn it on or plug it in or however it might be. And what do? Oh, you bark your shin or you stumble upon a shoe. And if you're not careful, you can take a fall. But that's the least of what it means to walk in darkness. Listen to these words from Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Paul says the forces of darkness are evil. In fact, it's Satan, isn't it? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. As Job described those who walk without God, this is from Job chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. He shows us the detrimental nature of darkness and walking in it. Beginning with verse 13. Others have been with those who rebel against the light. They do not want to know its ways nor abide in its paths. The murderer arises at dawn. He kills the poor and the needy, and at night he is as a thief. The eye of the adulterer waits for the twilight, saying, "No eye will see me," and he disguises his face. In the dark, they dig into houses. They shut themselves up by day. They do not know the light, for the morning is as the same to him as thick darkness. For he is familiar with the terrors of thick darkness. It's like working the midnight shift. Evil loves to be hidden, to do things in disguise, to not be seen. What does it mean to walk in darkness? It's the dominion of Satan, spiritually speaking. So think again about what Jesus is saying. I am the light of the world. And he who walks in me will not only not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Satan is the prince of darkness. He's the world ruler of this present darkness. And when we walk in his ways, what did Job say? Murderers, like thieves, adulterers. We walk blinded to truth. Hate is a part of the work of darkness. John says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Would our world be better with fewer criminals? With fewer murderers and thieves and adulterers? Certainly it would. Would our world be better if we loved each other more? Yes. What's the answer? Oh, we have such hand-wringing from the ones who believe that they know the answers to life's questions when they say, oh, what are we going to do? Our world is coming apart at the seams. And we watch movies and we read books and we read articles in the newspaper and we listen to the pundits, and what answers do they provide to make a better world? How often do you hear or see Jesus as the solution? Listen again to our text for today. John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. He's our light, which provides life. And God said, let there be light. Just as an aside, the sun wasn't created till day four. Plants, however, were created on day three. You know, there are those who would like to theorize and say, well, really, it's not just 24-hour periods, the creation, the 6 days that it took to create the world and the universe and all that's in it, and God resting on the Sabbath, on the seventh day. It's not a literal 24-hour period, okay? You want to stretch it out to eons? Then you tell me how the plants survived without the sun, because they were created on day three. The sun was created on day four. A 24-hour period, well, that's just overnight they've got the sun. Without it, What did we say? The absence of light, it's darkness, but it's also very cold. Light is life. Jesus offers our souls the eternal quality of what man is, hope, an opportunity to survive. But we must follow him, and in doing so, have life. Darkness is overcome through Jesus' forgiveness of our sins. We all walked in darkness prior to knowing the Lord. But when we came to have faith, to confess that he is the Son of God, repenting of our sins, being baptized into his blood through the watery grave provided by example of Jesus himself being baptized by John in the Jordan, seen again by 3,000 who were baptized in Acts chapter 2 by Peter and the apostles for the forgiveness of their sins, we are transferred from the dominion of darkness into the glorious kingdom of light. Listen to these words from Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. As Jesus spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus, he said, I've got a plan for you, Paul. And Paul records these words in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Jesus speaking to him, here's your mission, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Christians, saved through the grace of God, but for a purpose. To help others to see the light. What is the answer to this world's unraveling? Jesus Christ. We have to let our light shine out on the marquee. I have that. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. All the time, let it shine, oh yeah. Turn with me to hymn number 759. Ye are the light of the world. 759. O Christian, do not hide your light, for ye are the light of the world. But keep it trimmed and burning bright, for ye are the light of the world. For ye are the light of the world. For ye are the light of the world. Then keep your lamps all burning bright, for ye are the light of the world. Oh, do not let your light burn low, for ye are the light of the world. But keep it bright and onward go, for ye are the light of the world. For ye are the light of the world. For ye are the light of the world. Then keep your lamps all burning bright, for ye are the light of the world. Hope. That's what Christ offers. Through forgiveness, through redemption, through the transfer of us from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light, we have hope, and that hope is to be shared with others. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even in baptism, it is figurative in our actions. We go down into the water, burying the old man of sin. We rise up out of the water, forgiven, cleansed, ready to walk a new life, Paul says in Romans chapter 6. because God defies the laws of nature. It is only natural for us to sin. It is only natural for us to fall out of right relationships with each other as well as with God. But God, just as He can defy gravity by ascending into heaven as Jesus did, He can defy the laws of nature as well. And He can resurrect the dead if we'll but trust in Him. Have faith in Him. Come to Him, confessing His name, repenting of our sins, and being baptized into His blood. What are we leaving behind besides the confusion and the chaos and the uncertainty and the fear? The lifestyle of selfishness, certainly, we're leaving behind. But where did that get us? And how did that benefit not only us, but our loved ones? People of the world live a selfish life, ignoring the light that is shining every day through the example and the words of Jesus Christ in the Gospels, in the Bible. We have that which will indeed save the world. We can't be fearful. Let your light shine. Jesus said, and Paul referenced it, that his mission was to turn souls from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they not only might receive forgiveness, but an inheritance. Jesus went on to say in John chapter 1, verse 9, "There was the true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man," said of Jesus there by John, "enlightens every man." To whom does the gospel belong? Who is it for? Every man. But you say not every man responds. That's right, because not everyone listens. Jesus is in the midst of conversation with the religious leaders of his time. And he says, "You don't understand where I'm from. You don't know where I am going. If you knew the Father, you would know me," and vice versa. And he's going to question their parentage in the latter part, like I said, of this chapter. They're not going to like where he goes in his discussion. You know what it means to not listen to the voice of Jesus, to the gospel call? It's the same as ignoring the lighthouse on the shore. You're doomed to crash and burn. Oh, Christian, do not let your light burn low, for ye are the light of the world. Jesus is the light, John has told us. And in chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And the darkness did not overcome it." The Greek word for overcome there is katalambano, and it's translated various ways. It could be translated, "And the darkness has not apprehended, has not taken, has not seized, has not suppressed, or put out the light. It has not defeated it or extinguished it." The other version says, "And the darkness did not comprehend it." However it's translated, the meaning is clear, that the darkness doesn't have the power to extinguish the light. And yet we can willfully put our own lights under a bushel, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Jesus is the light. He is the solution. He is the answer to this world's problems. Believe it. Profess it. Live it. Set that example that Jesus did. He says in our reading today, "And those who believe in me will follow me. They will do what I do." It took a little convincing, even for the apostles, to understand that they were not establishing a physical kingdom on earth, that their king was establishing a spiritual kingdom, thus transferring it from a throne in Jerusalem to one in heaven. But once fully understood, what a magnificent message that continues to today and will throughout the age of mankind, that Jesus is the light of the world. the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Later on, we'll have this passage from John chapter 12, beginning with verse 35. So Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. Sons of light. What a glorious image that is. Did you miss the sunrise service this morning? I happened to get here early enough to watch the sunrise and sing, "Do not hide your light in this little light of mine outside." I don't know if I disturbed the neighbors too much. I'm told that my voice does carry. It's a glorious thing to watch the sunrise, to feel its warmth, to see our world renewed. Even the weeds are beginning to grow. Light has power. Come out of the darkness. Trust in the Son. He testifies to you that He is from the Father, and He declares to you the things of the Father. Come to Him and you will have the light of life. You are the light of the world.